بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Establishing a relationship with Allah Ta'ala, and as such a special relationship, is so important that apart from Allah Ta'ala making the other forms of ibadat obligatory and farz, namaz, roza, zakat, Quran Sharif, etc., all for the purpose of relating to Allah Ta'ala, أَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي, all for the same purpose. But an additional ibadat, Allah Ta'ala has made that also Sunnat al-Mu'akkada, something that has been emphasized, and that is i'tikaf, that we enjoy a special relationship with Allah Ta'ala. One is a casual, normal relationship, and then a special relationship. And in order to enjoy this special relationship, Allah Ta'ala has made this form of ibadat as a part of our shariat, part of our deen, and part of a Muslim's life. Before Nubuwat, Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to seclude himself in the cave. We hear about it, Ghar Hira. Rasul-e-Pak had secluded himself. And the hadith very clearly says, حُبِّبَ إِلَيَّ الْخَلَاءُ. Seclusion became very dear to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now obviously, there isn't anybody that is closer to Allah Ta'ala than a Nabi. Nobody enjoys a closer relationship to Allah Ta'ala than a Nabi. And the Nabi as well secludes himself. And the reason for him secluding himself is enjoying a special relationship with Allah Ta'ala. Musa alayhi salam had to do the same, had to come to the tour for the same purpose. So this special relationship, special, one is with the general forms of ibadat that we perform, we do develop a relationship, but a special relationship, that we get into seclusion. That is why anything that is not in keeping with seclusion, then we try and cut it off. Sitting down, talking unnecessarily. There is a need, then nobody stops you from talking. But then obviously a need is a need. You do it to the point of need, then you cut off after that. Because you will notice that you engage in ibadat, then you have a certain line with Allah Ta'ala. Then you start talking, then that line breaks. Now to come back onto that line, again, it's an effort. So you just do that to the point of need, you secure your line. The idea is that that line must be secured. It mustn't be a point where you have broke up, where you have broken up, and then you have to re-establish. You broke up, and then you have to remake the whole thing. In my namaz from 2-3 days, and I'm thinking this one way you can get this very easily. Once someone complained to Hazrat Jumu'ah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh that I am afraid that there is a case that is impending upon me. I couldn't meet my obligations, my debts, and perhaps I would be imprisoned. So this thing is really haunting me, really making me feel afraid. So Hazrat Hamza told him, see, the easy way to get over this type of thoughts is think you are already there. You must think, imagine you are already in prison. So when you think and you engage your mind that you are already in prison, then is there anything to fear? No, nothing remains. So similarly, Adam alayhi salam had to come to this world to get back to the hereafter. So every mu'min, every believer must program his mind. He programs his mind in such a way that I am on my way out, not on my way in. I'm on my way out. So if your mind is programmed that I'm on my way out, just now I'll be in the qabr, just now I'll be on the hisab, on the hashar, just now there's going to be interrogation, I'm waiting in the line, going out, I'm waiting on the line. I'll be called at any time. So I'm in the line. So your mind, mentally, your mind must be programmed in this way that I'm on my way out, I'm waiting for my turn. I know just now my turn will come, and I'll be served just now. Let's hope I get served properly, correctly, easily. Right? So, in order to get that type of thought rooted and established in the mind, one simple way to get that type of frame of mind is namaz. See, in namaz you're starting off with Maliki Yawmiddin, right? So, when you said Maliki Yawmiddin, from that point, you just go onto a different channel altogether. From that point, you say, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Allah Ta'ala, now I'm getting towards Qiyamah. So you just help me, Allah Ta'ala. Keep me in your service and you help me. See how you will just switch off. Said, I'm waiting now. I'm on trial. Allah Ta'ala, I'm on trial. So you help me out and keep me in your service. Then you will say, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. And O Allah Ta'ala, what I mean, that you must help me out, that you must hold me by my hand and take me to Jannah, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, into the company of the favored. But you take me. So you are waiting on the line, right? And you're seeing that people are getting served. It's now Yusuf Bhai left the world, then Musa Bhai left, then Ismail Bhai left, one Bhai is leaving and the other Bhai is following, and it's carrying on and on. Don't we see that it's happening all the time? So we're seeing that someone or the other is leaving. Don't worry about who's coming. The one that is coming also is coming to leave. He's coming, he's jumped on this vehicle of life to leave. Right? So everybody is there to leave. You jump onto the train, not to remain the train, but to get off the train, right? Why did you jump on the train? You jump on the plane from Maputo, going to Kalimantan, right? So you jumped onto the plane to remain on the plane or to get off? To get off. So you jumped on the vehicle of life to jump off. So that must be the mindset that I have jumped on to get off, not to get in, to get off. So if that's the mindset, then it's easy. Your whole life is going to be easy. Your movements are going to be easy. And you will feel very, very focused because you programmed your mind already that I have jumped on this life, I have jumped on this vehicle to get off. That's how you're going to feel. So why you jumped on? You jumped on so that you may leave. So I jumped on this vehicle, and I jumped on this vehicle, I need to leave. Therefore I jumped on. So then you are pleading to Allah Ta'ala. From the point of Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in, Allah Ta'ala, please now, I've jumped on already. I'm heading towards Qiyamah now. Please help me. You help me and keep me in your service. The way that I will get through is only if you help me out. So you see how you're asking, Iyaka na'budu, I can only get through if you help me with your blessings. So you program your mind like that. And then when you're saying, Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, then you imagine, O Allah Ta'ala, please help me so much that you hold me by my hand. Don't just tell me, you know, get there, take a right turn, left turn. No, Allah, I won't manage it. Allah, hold me by my hand and put me into Jannat. then only will I be secure. So you see how you're saying ihdina sirat, what frame of mind you're saying? Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Hazrat Qasim Sahib Nanavati Rahmatullah, the founder of Deoband, he says, I find enjoyment in two things. One is dawat ka khana. If there's a dawat, it's easy, because no preparation is required. No, no fikr, no preparation. Every fikr is on the host. The host will make all the fikr. It's biryani, sudar fini, kebab, zarda, whatever. All fikr is his. You just go like a motor. Do your work and you carry on. So that's the first thing I enjoy, dawat. Because no fikr you got, no fikr. And the second thing I feel very comfortable with is namaz with jamaat. Because all the fikr is on the imam sahab. Who makes the fikr? Who makes the fikr? You make the fikr. Imam sahab makes all the fikr. All day, bichara, preparing for tarawih, reading to this person, getting his mistakes right. Where he's going to stop, where he's going to start, whole day is going to make fikr. And you, got any fikr? You know fikr. So the whole fikr is loaded onto the Imam Sahib's head. So there's no fikr. Right. Now, why I feel so nice in the Tarawih Namaz, because now I don't have to worry about anything. Right. Now you can focus on the recitation so nicely. Because now you can focus on it. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, sirat al-ladhin. You can focus on the message. Allah Pak, you hold your hand, please. Allah Pak, you take me across to Jannat and see that I don't get lost in ghayr al-maghdubi alayhim wa al-dhalin. Maghdubi alayhim wa al-dhalin. I don't get lost. Allah, you carry me. You see me, Allah Ta'ala. See now how your mind will be. Yeah? Now all that you have to do, The whole job Imam is carrying, he's carrying the whole load. He's got the engine. You just the coach behind. You just the coach. So the coach will just remain. Right. Then you go getting into ruku. Right. When you're getting into ruku, then as though you sing Allah Ta'ala. I asked you, Allah Ta'ala, I begged you that you must take me to Jannat. Right. I want to be there. So, Allah Ta'ala, as a token of your submission, I'm going down. As a token of submission, I'm prostrating before you. I bow down before you. That I want to be amongst your servants that are submissive. Fully submissive. They submit themselves to you. So I want to be of that class. So Allah Ta'ala, I yield myself to you, Allah Ta'ala. Please, now you take me through. Right? So you went into ruku. When you dived into ruku, so with this frame of mind, that Allah, I want to be there, and because I want to be there, so therefore I've submitted myself. Then you got up from the ruku to the qawma, you stood up, right? So you're saying, Rabbana lakal hamd. So you're saying, Allah, I'm so thankful to you that you gave me another chance for life, you know, as though, you know, you were dead and you came back to life. You were dead when you went down, so you were like dead, right? So you came back from the dead, you came back. So Allah Pak is another chance, another opportunity, so I'm thankful to you that it's an opportunity to be of service. It's an opportunity to get some more rewards, to get some more credit. To get more time. So you gave me an opportunity. Rabbana lakal hamd. Hamdan kathiran. You gave me another opportunity, Allah. So I'm so thankful to you that I could have been gone just now, but you gave me another opportunity. So I'm so thankful to you that you gave me another opportunity to live. Right. Then you finished your qawma. Now you're going into sajda. So when you're going into sajda, then you think that you're already in the qabr now. At that moment, I think you're already in the cover. You hit the ground. Ground is cover. So, as though you're saying the cover, you're saying the land also, O land, you be a witness that I am also worshipping Allah Ta'ala. You be a witness. From amongst everybody else, you also be a witness that I am worshipping Allah Ta'ala. I am prostrating, I'm making sajda, I have put my head down to Allah Ta'ala. You be a witness. So the day I come to you, then you must give evidence in by Allah Ta'ala that I also was amongst those that had surrendered. So today I have made you the witness. Tomorrow, when I will want you to give witness on my behalf, then you must give witness on my behalf. رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا بِمَا أَنزَلْتَ وَاتَّبَعَنَا الرَّسُولَ فَاكْتُبْنَا مَعَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. So you be the witness. You be the witness that, you know, we prostrated. So the day I want you to be a witness on my behalf, you must do the witnessing on my behalf. See, so when you go into sajda, you go with that frame of mind. Now, as though you're already in the akhirat, you're performing namaz, but you're already in the akhirat. In that famous hadith, where we say that Nabi Samad asked the Sahabi, كَيْفَ أَصْبَحْتَ? How did you spend the morning? And he says that I spend the morning with iman. And Nabi Samad asked him that every statement has a haqiqat. مَا حَقِيقَةُ قَوْلِكَ? So what's the haqiqat of what you are saying? So he says, I get up in this way, as though I'm witnessing the throne of Allah Ta'ala before me, the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. I'm seeing the people of Jannah and they're rejoicing. And I see the people of Jahannam and they're bickering and they're crying and they're wailing and they're lamenting. So he has tasted the reality of iman. So this iman only gets shaped. The iman only gets shaped with the focus on the hereafter. One is the belief. That's one thing. And the second is the consistent focus in the hereafter. It mustn't just be a belief. It mustn't just be a thought. It must become that belief or the thought must be progressing. See, one is just a thought that's in your mind, alright. Then now you need to cultivate it. You got the seed. Right, that seed has got potential. It will bring good. But you have to cultivate it. Now you just left it at the level of a seed and you want that thing to grow, then that's wrong, obviously. You have to cultivate it. Whatever is required for you to cultivate it, you must cultivate it. One person, he was in a gathering of people, and you know some people are such that they like to entertain, make stories, make everybody laugh, entertain them. That's their way. They want some attraction, want people to be attentive towards them. So that's the nature of some people. They want that attention, and it's a dangerous thing to be in. You know, you want attention, you crave for attention, people be towards you. It's a dangerous thing. Because when you crave for attention and you want people to be attentive towards you, you may say things that you're not supposed to be saying. You may not be very careful about what you are saying. So he says, in the course of his communication, he says, yeah, you know what, I went to the town. And then, when I was in the town, then I picked up a relationship with a certain woman, you know. And then that relation went on so well, and you know, everything was working out so well for us, you know. And once what happened is, you know, we were on the verge of getting caught, you know. And the man just pulled in, and we were on the verge of getting caught. So she just hid me in one almari. She pushed me into one cupboard, and I stuck there until 2-3 hours, then I went out, you know. In the meanwhile, in that whole crowd, the husband was there and the wife was there as well. So the wife slipped a letter, that lover, she slipped a letter to him. Okay, bhai, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? My husband is here and you give him all the secret out. So now, he had to make up a story, a cover-up story. So he says, oh, then I got up from my dream. How witty this person. Gave all his secret. that he made that into a dream. See, then I got up from my dream. What a relief it was. So what I'm getting at is that iman mustn't be just a thought. You have to cultivate that iman. Right? When you cultivate that iman, then you can see, you will be able to see. Alhamdulillah, there are some people, I won't say who it is, but for a period in his life, he would actually visualize the arsh of Allah Ta'ala before him. For some period in his life, how the Sahabi used to see that arsh, then he used to see the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. Right? Then I said something, whatever I had to say, and that thing stopped after that. But he could see the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. Now this happens, it happens when you program your mind. The idea is to program the mind. And our program is, in the morning I get up, then I have to go for breakfast, then I have to go for work, and this is the itinerary for the work. I'll use this kaya, then go to the work, and then on my return I have to get the groceries, then I have to drop so and so on the road, and I'll come home. And at home, then after Isha, I'll eat. Let's hope they prepare this food here, and then I'll sleep. So that's our program. Our program is nothing more than that. And so our whole program from the morning till we get to sleep is just around some material or the other. Right? It just goes around some material. It doesn't revolve around the qabr. It doesn't revolve around Jannah, Jahannam. It doesn't revolve around Qiyamat. We don't even think about it. And if we think about it, then we get such a fear that we say, I rather don't talk about it. Don't even think about it. See? Whereas the Muslim's life must be totally different. You see, your iman and your yaqeen grows in proportion to how much you've invested your mind into the hereafter. Remember these words. Your actions, everything grows, your iman grows, in proportion to how much you've invested your mind into the hereafter. Come what may, you put your mind to the hereafter, iman grows. And you don't put your mind into the hereafter, do what you want, but there is no power in your iman. There is no strength in your iman. There is no life in it. The lengthy hadith that we often hear, okay, before Qiyamah, and you will find that the kuffar will invite each other to eat up the Muslim, right? Tada'at lakumul umum, right? They will invite each other to eat you up, right? Like how we're having a walima, so you invite people. Or that may be Ajwa, you must come also, you must come. So you invite each other. Everybody is very, very interested. He's going to eat up Afghanistan. You got steaks there, I got a steak there, he's got a steak, everybody got steaks. So everybody comes to eat. Don't you see it happening? We're going there, so you must come also. We'll give you a steak as well. We'll give you this, and you'll give 15%. Or there's so many oil wells, and you'll get this. So, everybody is anxious to eat you up. Tada'at lakumul umam. So they are anxious to eat you up. And in the plan, in the program to eat you up, then they are corresponding, they are cooperating with each other. Right? They are cooperating with each other. So then, Nabi Sahaba Ikram asked, but, أَوَ مِنْ قِلَّةٍ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. They're all cooperating with each other to eat us up. Will it be because we are less in number? No numbers now, they're eating us up. There's one morsel after the other. They ate us here in Afghanistan, then they're eating us up somewhere else in Iraq, and then I don't know whose number comes after this. Just eat you up, one morsel, just gulp you up. See? So easy it is for them to eat you up. Will we have no numbers that day? that they just take us, just pick us up and eat us up. We'll have no numbers. Will we be so insignificant? So Nabi Sallam said, no, you'll be lot, you'll be plentiful, you'll be in great numbers. وَلَكِنْ غُسَاءٌ كَغُسَاءِ السَّيْلِ. You'll be like the foam of the water. You see the foam of the water, is it of any use? When there's a heavy tide, what happens to that foam? That foam is just thrown off. Don't you see? When there's a lot of activity in the water, a lot of activity, so the water then just throws that foam out. So husaun ka husai sail, you're just like the foam, you're just like the debris. So when there's going to be a heavy tide, you're going to be just thrown out. So you are really insignificant. You can't say that you're indispensable. You can be just thrown so easily. You're just a number. You're just an old furniture there. They can throw you wherever. They can place you, they can displace you. Put Mursi and take him out. Put Gaddafi and take him out. They made you like a chess board, you know. So easily they can place you, and so easily they can displace you. So you are so easily, so vulnerable. وَلَكِنْ هُسَىٰ كَهُسَىٰ السَّيْلِ. Like how the debris or the foam in the floods, you are like that. So the Sahaba Kiram then wanted to know, but why will we be like this? Why we are treated so insignificant? Now we got the numbers, we got the wealth, we got material, we got everything. Material, then we got everything, we got numbers, we got the wealth. But then why are we looked at with contempt? Why are we looked at with contempt? They wanted to know that in the day of the Sahaba Kiram, then they are looked with esteem, with respect, with glory. Sahabi can go into the Persian kingdom and with all the Persian carpets that were laid out, he can get his mule to ride upon the carpet. He can get the mule to ride upon the carpet. And when that guard shouts him, you know, to threaten him, so there's one man, and that one man smiles at the guard, "Bhai, I'm not deaf, I can listen. What's your message? I'm not, and you won't frighten me, but you shouting, you're not going to frighten me." Right? Hazrat Khalid radiallahu anhu was called with a group of Sahaba for negotiations before pre-war and negotiations. It's about perhaps under 50 people went for negotiations. They got 50,000 people and 30-40 people had to go just for negotiations with Khalid radiallahu anhu. So as the negotiation process is commencing, so the king is sitting on the throne, so he also jumps on to the throne. A throne is supposed to be exclusive for the king, and he's jumped onto the throne. So obviously it enraged the king. The king is giving instruction, "Uqtulu, kill him." So Khalid radiallahu anhu jumped off, and then he drew out his sword. And he says, "You don't look at anybody now. None of you look at anybody. We will meet on the Maidan al-Hashar now." So that king got such a shock. He said, no, I was just joking with you. See, there's 30 of them, and that 50,000, you know, they could send a chill in their spine. They were so powerful. All this came because that Qiyamah was before them. Jannat was before them, Jahannam was before them. They were seeing it with their eyes, it was vivid. Now it's the dream. Now the Jannat and Jahannam is like the dream. You know, yeah, it's one thing now that we heard about. We don't know how true it is, na'uzubillah. So it's one of those things. We don't know the reality of it, but it is one of those things, right? So it's just a dream that's locked up in your mind. The reality is your investment. What investment you got? Where you got? London, okay, Cape Town, okay, and where another investment you need to get? Amanat, they're giving 14%. And this one they're giving 20%. So. پوری زندگی کی زندگی اسی میں نمٹ جاتی ہے. پوری زندگی شروع سے لے کر کے آخر تک امانت کی 15%, برکہ گیونگ 12%. سو دیٹس اے گوئنگ ریٹ. اے برکہ وی ڈونٹ نو اٹ از رائٹ ناٹ رائٹ. امانت سیمز ٹو بی مور رائٹ. ہول زندگی از جسٹ کٹنگ دا چکر. دیٹ بیکیم ریئل اینڈ آخرت بیکیم اے ڈریم. جنت بیکیم اے ڈریم. جہنم بیکیم اے ڈریم. And this amanat became a reality. Right? Man, I got so much money now, look for something for me, you know? Of all people, they're looking at us for guidance. So that means something is wrong with us also. Because they're looking at us and they're looking for money. We're supposed to be taking them to Jannat, right? And they're looking at us for dunya. So that means there's something wrong with us. They're looking at us and looking at dunya in us. So there's something wrong in us. Right? So the dunya has become such a big thing now, such a big tamasha. Dunya, there's nothing besides dunya. Dunya and dunya. One investment and the second one. Can't look for another investment for me. Can't look for something else for me. So Jannat became just an illusion. Jannat became just an imagination. Jannat just became one additional thought in your mind. It's just creaturing. It's not a reality any longer. So that's why when someone dies, you get such a shock and frightened and ghabraat, all these things happen, because it's just an illusion. So the Sahaba Kiram wanted to know why, what's wrong? One friend of mine was in one Arab country. I'm just showing you how our people are thinking, whether it's Arab or non-Arab, but how they are thinking. So, at a government level, they wanted the Jamaat work to be recognized. So, one person had some influence with one of the ministers. So, he got talking to him by, you know what, it's for our own good, our deen, our Islam, our preservation, and let's recognize this. So that minister's answer was, that minister that was counted to be the most religious and most God-conscious, you know. So his answer was, you know, our family that is the ruling family, we are born for the dunya, not for akhirat. We are born for the dunya. Now, they are saying it in words, but we are saying it in our actions. Aren't we saying it in our actions? Your whole fikr is dunya. They are saying it in words, but we are saying it in our behavior. So the Sahaba Kiram wanted to know, the very strange thing about the dunya is, you know, when we look at the past generation, like our fathers, grandfathers, they didn't leave big investments for that. I think they had nothing, most of them, you know, from our grandfather's times. But alhamdulillah, their children and their awlad, they're moving on well. And suddenly you got a shock, bachcho ka kya hoga? Awlad ka kya hoga? What's going to happen with the children? Kya hoga? What's going to happen? How many investments I got for them? Suddenly that became like a shock. But all these people carried on, continued very well. There was no fikr, no ghabrat in them. And I think most of our grandparents, most of them, or at least some of them, at least half, more than half, didn't even own freehold property. Some were more fortunate to have freehold property, but most didn't have. But their children, their grandchildren, they're moving. Their children are moving, their grandchildren are moving. And many a times I think to myself that not having too much is a blessing. Because if there's too much, then there's now concern now what the children are going to do. Each children, you've got so much. Each month we're seeing about $250,000 we're seeing now. And you've got just two children now. Now, what are they going to do with that money now? And how are they going to conduct their life? What are they going to do? How are they going to pass their time? So that becomes a concern. How are they going to pass their time? See? It's a concern now. How are they going to pass their time? Because you got so much. But if you didn't have so much, you get the children to work now, they have to do something for themselves. So they become mentally active, they become strong. Mentally, they become, the morale is strong. Here, they become inactive because of the abundance, they become inactive. So sometimes that abundance is not a blessing, really it's a problem afterwards. So anyway, the Sahaba Kiram wanted to know what was the problem, why? Will we be just downtrodden? They just crushing us, moving. We are like furniture. They just move us from one end to the other end. However they want to move us, they manipulate, they maneuver. However they want to do it, they just do it. But what is the reason? So if only this gem of an advice comes into our heart, I think our i'tikaf is more than worth it. So Nabi Sam said, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَاهِيَةُ الْمَوْتِ. The reason, the whole crux, the whole essence of all this chakkar is that we've been obsessed with worldly love, accumulating and accumulating and accumulating. Worldly love, more and more and more. There isn't a point where we say, no, it's enough is enough. حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا, that's the first thing, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا. Look at the diversity. Just look at that diversity. Nabi Sam received wealth. He says, Bilal, you know, go and see all the debts, go and settle it out. So all the debts are settled. Still, money is still left. Nabi Sam says, I can't leave the masjid until that money is all sorted, all given away. Look for any person that is deserving. Every person that was deserving, that was given. Now anything left? Now nothing left. Now I can go home. So he felt the ease of the mind when the wealth was gone. That's one diverse. And we feel the ease of the mind when they ease that wealth. See the diversity. He felt at ease when it was gone. And we feel at ease when we have got it. But don't think of taking high jumper, please. Nabi Sam did it, then he was of that level, right? You're not of that level, then don't you try and just take a jump now. Because that little namaz you're doing and the little Quran saying you're doing, you'll leave all that. Don't take a high jump. But what I'm showing you the diversity, that he felt at ease when everything was gone. Everything is cleared up, wiped out, now he's feeling at ease. And we feel at ease when he's piled up. So there is something that is short, something that is not right, something that is not adding up in our ways. As compared to the former people, there is something that is not adding up. So the first thing Nabi Sam is pointing out is, in that zamana, in other words, in this zamana that we are in now, our first problem will be hubbud dunya. It's an obsession. You're consumed. We can't get out of it. It's such an intoxication that we can't get out. Hazraji Mawla Yusuf Rahmatullahi, the second Amir of the Tabligh Jamaat, he said in different words. He says, Sharab ka nasha to subah tak utar jata hai. When a person is intoxicated, by the morning he's sober, right? You don't see the people bablas on Sunday. And the Monday morning they come right. Alright. They may say blue Monday, but the afternoon they're alright. That blue afternoon, they don't call it a blue afternoon. Blue Monday they'll call it, but not blue afternoon. They call it a blue, they don't call it. But the afternoon, everything is right, everything is cleared up. Right. Lekin maal ka nasha nahi utarta. Ye sharab ka nasha to subah tak utar jata hai. The intoxication of a drink, or now you get mandrax and all that, right? So that intoxication, it wears out by the morning. Finish now. You were under the influence, then by the afternoon everything is finished. One person was drunk, right? So he made pisap in his hands. He's washing his face. Allahumma bayyid wajhi yawma tabyaddu wujuh. Astaghfirullah. So that's what that this thing makes you do. This intoxicants, whether it's drugs, whether it is, do all the most weird things, the most weird, stupid things you will do. Islam is a blessing, right? We don't understand that our deen is a blessing. If it was not for deen, then we would have been doing all the same stupid things. Sharab and kabab and whatever else. It's just the deen that gave us our izzat. Otherwise, we'd be gone. So the first thing is this hubbud dunya. And this hubbud dunya, I was looking in the kitab, Sultan Shamsuddin Altamash, a very, very powerful king of India. Very powerful king. Old India, probably about 8 centuries ago. Very powerful king. So in that zamana, there was one great buzurg, Qutbuddin Bakhtiyar Kaki Rahmatullahi. So he had a massive khanqa and thousands of people. Like how you get Tabligh Jamaat nowadays, and deen flourishing through the Tabligh Jamaat. At that time, the deen used to be flourishing through the khanqa. Allah Ta'ala knows the wisdom why in some zamana, this was the mode for people to, for deen to flourish. And in this zamana, there is another mode for the deen to flourish. Sometimes Tabligh Jamaat, sometimes khanqa, sometimes madrasa. So that's the wisdom of Allah Ta'ala. Whichever zamana, whatever vehicle was required, Allah Pak allowed that vehicle to move. So these are thousands of people coming daily, they're correcting their lives and they're moving on. You look in some of these kitabs, then in some of these khankas, there was approximately 1,000 sheep being slaughtered every day. Imagine how many people they were feeding. 1,000 sheep every day. No fail, not fail. So imagine how many people count on one sheep, how much you bring tarkari and all that. So one sheep, how much, how many people can eat? Just randomly, how much? 40, 50 people, right? So kitne log aayenge? 50,000 people every day. 50,000. You can't give them breakfast. 1,000 people, that 1,000 sheep, you can't give them breakfast. Obviously, breakfast you gonna give then 10 aadmi ke liye bhi bas nahi hoga. Made of tarkari, so there's more barakat in tarkari. So many people are coming to the khanqa and going. And thousands of people are accepting Islam every day. You see, India now is about 200 and some odd million Muslims. So through these khanqas, they became Muslims. One English historian, he writes about India that most people accepted Islam in India through Sufis and Arab traders. What? Arab traders and Sufis, they were the turning point for most people to accept Islam. The second thing he writes, the same historian, he writes, the strangest thing I found in India is I found it a country where the dead rule. Where the? In every country you find the life ruling, right? India, the mazars are ruling. You will see Nizamuddin, Aulia, Kalyar Sharif, Ajmer, all, who's ruling? Who's ruling? The dead are ruling. Indira Gandhi herself, she has so much of faith in all these kabars and all that in Ajmer, she used to put the first chadar. You know the chadar charate? They put chadar Urush time, or they put chadar over the grave. She used to put the first chadar. There's so much of confidence in all these things here. So it's the only country where the dead rule. So this, we talk of Sultan Shamsuddin Altamash Rahmatullah Alayh. So he saw that his Sheikh Qutbuddin Bakhtiyar Kaki Rahmatullah Alayh has got such a great, magnificent khanqa, thousands of people accepting Islam and the learning deen and the moving. So the expense must be very high. So what he did, he says, oh, there's about 10,000 acres of land, and this is the revenue all for the khanqa. You know, all the kharcha and all the expenses must be borne out from that. So the sheikh got very disappointed, and he called him and he says, you know, I thought you were my friend. But it seems like, you know, you're not friendly with me. He says, you see, the dunya, a dunya mal'oonun. Dunya is a thing that is detestable. Right? The thing that is likable, that is what you give to your friend. Not the thing that is detestable and cursed. So the cursed thing, you give and pass it on to me. The thing that is liked, thing that is desirable, that you pass on to your friend. Not the thing that is detestable. So I thought you were my friend, you understood, you got some munasabat with this friend and all that. Now I see you got no munasabat. All this dunya you're passing on to me. So you don't have the understanding of deen, that means. That means you're not my true friend. So you see how their minds were. So this Qutbuddin Bakhtiar Kaki Rahmatullahi, and it was his janaza. At the janaza they read the bequest out. What was the bequest of the sheikh? The sheikh's bequest was that person must lead my janaza namaz who never ever committed any haram with any woman, you know. Never committed any haram. Number two is he never missed out the sunnah before asr. Now this great ulama there, they all looking, he said, oh, we didn't commit that haram now. We didn't do any loot, alhamdulillah. But we can't be sure that we always read that before asr sunnats. Nobody's going forward. It's a sheikh of the time, there's hundreds of thousands of people, approximately a million people behind, but nobody has to go forward. So the Sultan Shamsuddin Al-Tamash Rahmatullahi, he said, you know, today my sheikh has exposed me. This was a secret between me and Allah Ta'ala. He has exposed me, alhamdulillah, from my adulthood, 13, 14 of years of age, till today, I have never missed out my before asr sunnats. And I haven't committed any haram with any woman. Alhamdulillah. And he stepped forward and he led the namaz. Now he kept it as a secret. And the day man died, the secret was exposed. So what I'm getting at is this dunya and so much of attachment. I don't say we don't need the dunya and we don't need to keep something as a security, but not the way we're going on. The way we're going on is la taqif in the haddin. We're not stopping at any point. One investment, then another one, another one, then. What investment are you doing for the hereafter? Our correction, our reforming our lives. As though what we are saying, Allah, you know, all my deen, I've got everything right. Everything, got all my ducks on the row, everything is right. That's what he's saying, Allah Ta'ala. Yeah, only my dunya now I need to fix it up. That's what he's saying, Allah Ta'ala, by our body language. That our deen, we got everything fixed up. Everything. Hasad, riya, show, ostentation, everything, we got everything perfect. But what we don't have is our dunya. So that's what we are saying with our behavior. So that was the first thing that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had warned and cautioned us about. Hubbud dunya. And the second thing is karahiyatul maut. We're not eager to die. Eager to live. As though we're saying we still want to remain on the plane. Or remain on the train. Don't want to jump off. You know, my one cousin was telling me, people that are seasonal travelers, you know, they're traveling all the time, then the airport becomes their home. Then they don't have a home then. Like how you're having most homes, right? They make up the kitchen, and you're hearing how this, nowadays aunties, right? The kitchen with all the built-ins and all the finishes, it's working out to about 200, 300,000 rands, right? That's what's working out to. But 2.5 days in the week, they're not using the kitchen. Sometimes 3-4 days, they're not using the kitchen. So, phir itne paise kharch karne ki kya zarurat rahi? You spend so much of money, then why aren't you using the kitchen then? Was it just for a display, just for a show? What was it? So the same is happening to our lives, that the places that we need to invest, we're not investing. The place we need to be concerned and worried about, we're not worried about. So hubbu dunya and karahiyatul maut. Right? That's supposed to be our major concern, right? Marne ke baad kya hoga? Prepare one kitab, one Ashiq Ilahi Balan Shahri Rahmatullah Ali, prepare the kitab. Marne ke baad, what happens after death? So at least every day, to get ourselves on track. So what I'm showing you, that according to the hadith, we're not on track. Talking of the general ummah, they're not on track. According to what this hadith says, they're not on track. So if they want to get back onto track, then they'll have to get these two things right. That hubbu dunya, they'll have to get it out of their lives. Somehow, Tabligh Jamaat is asking for 4 months every year, right? And they got a reason for asking for 4 months. It's not that they're asking for 4 months for show. Not for show. Because they're seeing now, people are getting so heavily stuck into the dunya. So now, they want to keep a balance. So alright, there's a little bit of misbalance. It's supposed to be 6-6, you know, so that balance is well. So now we give you a little bit more discount. 8-4. Take 8 and give us 4 at least. Right? So at least there's some balance. Because they're seeing now that how deeply you're getting stuck into the dunya. Now if you're going to get stuck into the dunya, then you can't take off. In order to take off, both the wings need to be balanced, aligned well. Now one is bending on one side, and the other one is not straight. You don't want to take off how you want to take it off. Right? The way it's supposed to be taking off is not going to take off. You desire, you want to progress, but it can't progress. You try what you want, it can't progress. You need to keep the alignment and the balance right. So the first is that hubbu dunya. And the second is karahiyatul maut. Right? So the solution for it is at least, and I'm seeing things, how it's going on, how it's panning today, presently, then we will need to take out at least 15-20 minutes every day and think seriously about death. Not just casually. Think seriously. But there are that class of people that get ghabras. When think about death now, they get ghabras. It's going to happen now. I know in my childhood, one person is thinking about, you know, we went to bury someone. So the next day it was rainy or something. Now that one of our friends, small, 7, 8, 9 years of age, is rain now. What that person must be doing now in the cupboard? He's getting wet now. No clothes. How is he going to dry the clothes? Khabakha ke khayalat. So you get that class of people, they get very worried. They get very, very afraid. Very afraid. I know sometimes I have to do a lot of janazas, ghusals and all that. So they feel scared even to touch their father's body. Whole life they were with the father or the parents. Now they feel afraid to touch the body. As though some shock will come, some current will come. You know, they say that what is to be frightened, what you need to be frightened about is the person that is alive, like a lion that is alive, right? You feel afraid. Right? Lion is alive now. You know what it will do to you. But that thing is dead. Small child also will pull his mouth, see that thing's teeth, measure the thing's teeth and all that, right? How big the thing is. So after that, you don't fight for that person. But how strange is you're afraid of the person after death. So you get that class of people that are afraid of death. So alright, then there's two dimensions to death. One is Jahannam, Azab, etc. Right? So you feel too afraid about that. You can't cope, you can't manage that. Then think the brighter side of death. Think about Jannat. What Allah Pak has got in store for the believer. The palaces, the good food, the gardens, the woman, all, think about all that. So when you think about that, then that's the other side of Jannat, the other side of the hereafter. At least your heart will open up, your mind will open up towards that. And then you think to yourself, right, then how do I get there? So when you think like that, then you'll be thinking positively. So now you're thinking real. You're thinking real, you are identifying with reality. Not illusion. This life is an illusion. It's just a bluff. How you make out that this life is a bluff? How do you make out? I ask you, alright. I don't think that anybody is under 25, right? So the last 25 years of your life, you know, 25 years have passed, right? Compared to what is today, what it appears like, the past 25 years? Dream. Doesn't it appear like a dream? What you ate out 2 days ago, do you find the enjoyment? Biryani, or someone made, some kebab, or now you get all different types of menus and all people. They got a lot of recipes and different type of menus they got. So whatever you have ate, right, whatever kebab or braai or whatever, do you feel the happiness or the enjoyment of it now? Now as you sit here, do you feel any happiness or any enjoyment, any dessert that you ate, any biscuit, chocolate, fruit that you ate just 2 days ago? So then if 2 days enjoyment you can't get today, 25 years ago, how can you get that enjoyment? No enjoyment, it's just like a dream. But at that moment it seems so real, you know. At that moment that you're enjoying it, it seems so real, so real it seems. Right? That you can't resist it. So the only solution I think is that you need to think about death. But like I say, you get that jamaat of people, they get ghabrat. They can't identify, they feel too difficult. So think about the brighter side, think about, like I said, Jannat and all that, right? So you don't feel that level of ghabrat. And then think that, how can I get to my Jannat? Bilal radiallahu anhu, he's sick at that night, the night before he's passing away. So his wife, she's worried as well. And he's celebrating. He's actually celebrating. Say, tomorrow, what a day, tomorrow. I'm just waiting for tomorrow. Tomorrow, I'm just waiting for tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll go and meet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we'll meet Sahaba Kiram. I'm just waiting. When tomorrow is coming? Like, you know, it's a wedding day. How he's counting tomorrow, the dead day is like the wedding day. Ask any youngster that never did any haram, you know, before his wedding. Didn't do any haram. He didn't go through any of those motions. Say, Mullah, it's 10 hours left now. And then he says, 5 hours. Then 2 hours. Then, now Mullah is 15 minutes now. Inshallah, I'm there, almost there now. He feels so anxious. So Bilal was so anxious. Like how it's like, it's your wedding day. It's a wedding day. Allah will make it like that for us. It's like, you know, waiting for the wedding day. Like, it's that first encounter. But obviously, like I say, for everything there's a procedure. The procedure for this is to invest in that. To think about it. The way you invest is to think about it. Think deeply about it. That means you're investing in the right place. Then, any amount of dunya will be too much. You got 100 rand is too much, 1 million rand is too much. Then you say, Allah, too much I got now. Allah, I need to go there. You know. Tell me the truth. Right? You're traveling by plane, someone gives you his luggage and all that, you're prepared to carry it. You don't want to take any extra luggage. So dunya, why you don't take extra luggage? Why do you want to carry extra luggage? No, I got 1 million, 2 million, 3 million. Why you want to carry all that? Why are you taking extra luggage? Be light, you'll travel light, and you'll reach light, you'll reach easily. So that comes right if this is right. See, I say that it's the both wings. Now presently there's an imbalance. Because there is an imbalance, you're not taking off well. Now to get that balance, you have to get the alignment right by thinking about death. Then you get the alignment right. Then all this thing what I'm talking about, then it will make sense. Then you'll feel it's too much. Then you'll have that feeling of contentment, satisfaction. See? And that level of trust in Allah Ta'ala will be earned. So whatever dunya you've got, then is too much. It's too much for my needs and my requirements, too much. I don't need to think more beyond this. Otherwise, no amount will be too much. Today is my son, tomorrow is my grandson, then the next day is my great-grandson, and there's no end to it. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq naseeb kare. Ye Zakaria.
الحمد لله رب العالمين لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا راد لما قضيت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد اللهم أنت الثناء ومنك الثناء تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد كلما ذكره الذاكرون وصل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد كلما غفل عن ذكره الغافلون اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وآله ألف ألف مرة اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد عدد من صلى عليه وصل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد عدد من لم يصل عليه ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين وجعلنا للمتقين إماما وجعلنا للمتقين إماما رب هب لي من لدنك ذرية طيبة إنك سميع الدعاء رب هب لي من لدنك ذرية طيبة إنك سميع الدعاء رب ارحمهما كما ربيانا صغيرا رب ارحمهما كما ربيانا صغيرا رب ارحمهما كما ربيانا صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولمشائخنا ولمن له حق علينا ولمن أوصانا بالدعاء ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى من القول والعمل والفعل والنية والهدي إنك على كل شيء قدير. O most merciful Allah, O most compassionate Allah, O most kind Allah, Ya Arhamar Rahimin, Ya Arhamar Rahimin, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Ya Allah, You are most merciful to us. You are most merciful. You are more merciful than a mother is to her child. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Forgive us in this Mubarak night, Ya Allah. Forgive us in this Mubarak month, Ya Allah. Forgive all of us that are seated here in this Mubarak gathering, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, in this gathering where there are so many saintly people, Ya Allah. So many pious people, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, there are so many blessed with your ma'rifat in this gathering. Ya Allah, Ya Allah. A weakling like me, Ya Allah. A sinner like me, Ya Allah. Forgive me, Ya Allah, and forgive all of us, Ya Allah. Forgive all of us, Ya Allah. The last sin of ours, Ya Allah, forgive it. Ya Allah, we have committed so many sins, Ya Allah. During the light of the day, during the darkness of the night, Ya Allah, openly and secretly, Ya Allah. Those sins that we know about, those sins that we don't know about. Ya Allah, your knowledge is complete. Your knowledge is complete, Ya Allah. We cannot hide anything from you. La yakhfa alayka shay'un min amri. La yakhfa alayka shay'un min amri. La yakhfa alayka shay'un min amri. Wa ana al-ba'isu al-faqiru al-mustaghithu al-mustajir. وأنا البائس الفقير المستغيث المستجير الوجل المشفق المقر المعترف بذنبي أسألك مسألة المسكين أسألك مسألة المسكين يا الله I beg you like how the beggar begs for money يا الله like how the beggar begs يا الله we are begging you يا الله please forgive us يا الله please forgive us يا الله Forgive our parents, Ya Allah. Forgive our wives and children, Ya Allah. Forgive our relatives, Ya Allah. To our near and dear ones, and our distant relatives also, Ya Allah. Those that are still living, Ya Allah. Those that have passed away, Ya Allah. Forgive each and every one, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive our asatiza, our mashayikh, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those asatiza that are living, Ya Allah. Those asatiza that have passed away, Ya Allah. Forgive each and every one, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, and forgive each and every ummati of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive each and every ummati of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, the ummat of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been kicked from pillar to post. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, the kuffar have gathered together to partake of the meal of the Muslims, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you save us, Ya Allah. You protect us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, wherever they are being downtrodden, Ya Allah, in Syria, in Afghanistan, in Palestine, in Bangladesh, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, in Egypt, Ya Allah. In whichever country they are being downtrodden, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you take care of the Muslims, Ya Allah. You ease the plight, Ya Allah. You bless them with comfort, safety, and security, Ya Allah. You take care of the woman, you take care of the young, you take care of the old. Ya Allah, you take care of the ulama, you take care of the masajid, you take care of the maraqis of deen, Ya Allah. You protect them and you bless them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all the bounties that you have blessed us with in this country, Ya Allah. There are so many bounties that we cannot even count, that we take for granted, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, whether it is dini or dunyawi in this country, Ya Allah, there are so many bounties, Ya Allah. the level of standard of life that you have blessed us with, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah. The dini ni'mats that you have blessed us with, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbal Alameen, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. The ulama that you have blessed us with, Ya Allah. The mashayikh that you have blessed us with, Ya Allah. The Darul Uloom that you have blessed us with, Ya Allah. Ya Allah. The dini flavor that you have blessed us with, Ya Allah. Ya Allah. All these bounties, do not snatch them away from us, Ya Allah. Do not snatch them away from us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, please, Ya Allah. Do not snatch them away from us, Ya Allah. We are too weak, Ya Allah. What will we do when you have snatched these bounties away from us, Ya Allah? Ya Allah, Ya Allah, the leaders of our country, Ya Allah, you bless them with hidayat, Ya Allah. You bless them with Islam, Ya Allah. You bless them with guidance, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the population of our country, black or white, Ya Allah, yellow or purple, Ya Allah, Chinese or Japanese, whatever they are, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you bless them with hidayat, Ya Allah. Listen, each and every one with hidayat, Ya Allah. And accept us for the khidmat of your deen, Ya Allah. Accept us for the khidmat of your deen with ikhlas, Ya Allah. With ikhlas and sincerity, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, from all the people that are out there, you have chosen us to come here. You have chosen us and you have brought us here, Ya Allah. With all our weaknesses, Ya Allah. With all the rottenness and smell and filthiness, Ya Allah, you have brought us here, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the purpose that we have come here for. Ya Allah, those guidelines that our mashayikh have laid down, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you make us successful in achieving that goal and the target, Ya Allah. You make us successful in achieving that goal and the target, Ya Allah. You make us successful, Ya, in gaining your ma'rifat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us true, Ya Allah, from within and from without. Ya Allah, make us true. Make us true Muslims, Ya Allah. There should not be any banawat. There should not be any makeup in us, Ya Allah. Make us true and genuine, Ya Allah. Make us true and genuine Muslims, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Hazrat Mufti Ibrahim Sahib, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant him long life with afiyat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save him from all minor and major illnesses, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, bless him and bless his progeny, Ya Allah. Till the day of Qiyamah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all the asatiza and all the mashayikh, Ya Allah, that are seated, Ya Allah. Bless them and bless the progenies also, Ya Allah. Accepting in each and every one for the khidmat of the deen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those people that are involved in the khidmat, that are making the stay of ours, Ya Allah, so comfortable and easy, Ya Allah, over here, Ya Allah. You bless them and accept them also, Ya Allah. Accept the khidmat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all of the mashayikh in the country and throughout the world that are still living, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant them barakat in the health and in the wealth. Ya Allah, physically, spiritually, Ya Allah. And keep the shadow over us for a long time, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, there are so many things, Ya Allah, that are good for us, which I'm not able to ask for, Ya Allah. I am weak, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you bless us with all those good things, Ya Allah. And there are so many evils, Ya Allah, that are out there, Ya Allah, that we cannot ask protection for, Ya Allah. You protect us from them also, Ya Allah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Allah, throughout his entire life, so many occasions of his life, Ya Allah, throughout his Makkan zindagi, throughout his Madani zindagi, Ya Allah, throughout all the battles, battle of Badr, Uhud, Hunayn, Tabuk, etc., Ya Allah, all the good du'as that he had made, Ya Allah, all the things that he had begged you for, Ya Allah, you bless us with all those good, and all the evils that he had asked you to protect them from, protect him from, Ya Allah. You protect us from all those evils, Ya Allah. Grant us barakat in our health, Ya Allah. Grant us barakat in our wealth, Ya Allah. Protect our women folk at home, Ya Allah. Protect our children at schools, Ya Allah. Protect us wherever we are, whether we are in our business places or whether we are in a masajid, wherever we are, Ya Allah. Save us from robberies, hijacking, burglaries, Ya Allah. Save us from any person that intends to do evil to us, Ya Allah. Anyone that has an evil eye and he wants to do harm to us, Ya Allah, or harm to our families, Ya Allah, you protect us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you safeguard us, Ya Allah. You safeguard us, Ya Allah. Allahumma ya kabiru, ya kabiru, ya kabiru. Ya sami'u, ya basiru, ya man la sharika lah, wa la wazira lah, wa ya khaliq al-shamsi wal-qamari munir, wa ya hismat al-ba'is al-khaif al-mustajir. ويا رازق الطفل الصغير ويا جابر العظم الكثير أدعوك دعاء البائس الفقير كدعاء المضطر الضرير ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا الله, so many people have asked for duas, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, you accept each and everyone seated here, Ya Allah, has got some kind of hajat and some need, Ya Allah. You accept that need, Ya Allah. You fulfill that need, Ya Allah. You fulfill each and everyone's desire, Ya Allah, halal desire, Ya Allah. So many people asked us for dua. You make the maghfirat, Ya Allah, and you accept all the duas also, Ya Allah. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.